How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. This week, we are joined by David Bixenspan. Mike Sempervivi is enjoying a fun weekend on the East Coast. He is attending some indie shows, having a good time. So David and I will be holding down the fort today. Last week, we were live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, with Lance Storm. It was immediately previewing the WWE Battleground pay-per-view. So we're going to talk about that show here tonight on the program. Give you all the results of the show. Plus, we've got a ton of news to talk about here today, including the situation with Daniel Bryan. Are you aware that Daniel Bryan caught an individual who's attempting to rob his house? That's right. Him and Brie Bella came home, and there in the driveway, as they were pulling in, two dudes ran out of the garage, ran into the carport. Daniel Bryan gave chase, tackled the guy, and held him down. So we'll talk about that. What happened? Daniel Bryan's status, his neck injury, his elbow injury. What WWE is thinking in terms of when he's going to be back in action? We're going to talk about that here on the program here today, as well as all of the rest of the news. There was UFC on Fox last night. We're going to talk about that show. A lot of big fights coming up, so we'll talk about all of those. What do we got looking forward to in UFC? Plus, TNA has seen a small uptick in the ratings, so we'll talk a little bit about that on the program here tonight and how that plays into their attempts to get a television contract renewal. Obviously, they are less than 2 months away from the end of their current television deal. So what's going on? Are they going to get a new deal? Are they not going to get a new deal? I guess we'll discuss that on the program here today as well. So much stuff today, everybody. Stick around. Back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan today, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of news to get into here today, including the results of WWE Battleground from last weekend, which we previewed with Lance Storm. We were live from Calgary last week. I know a lot of you watched the show. And Bix, how you doing today?
Well,
all things considered, great.
Yes.
All right. What did you think of Battleground?
Battleground was not a good show.
Not blown away by it?
I was blown away by it, but not in a good way. I was surprised that they would effectively false advertise a match in this day and age.
That being the Seth Rollins Dean Ambrose match. That's right. They promised us a match. They did not deliver. I know that some people were talking about how, well, you know, it plays into the storyline, blah blah blah. But I think the biggest issue to me was I was in Canada, and so I had to buy the pay-per-view. I had to pay money to buy the pay-per-view. This was not $9.99 like on the WWE Network. This was a $44.95 purchase or whatever, and I bought this show expecting a match, and I did not get the match. So I was rather upset with that, and I can imagine, you know, forget the network subscribers. What about all those people that bought a ticket and were in the building? I suspect they were not happy with how this whole thing went down.
Yeah, here's what I don't get. What they could have done was just had the match start and had it quickly break down into what actually happened. It would have effectively been the same thing if they want to hold off the first real match until SummerSlam. And if you do that, the people who paid for it don't feel as ripped off, because it just worked as part of the storyline. Oh my God, these two are so out of control that they can't have a real match. I don't get why they didn't just do that. I think if they did that, you'd have a couple complaints, because there are always people who are going to complain, but I don't think it would have been nearly as bad as it was.
Yeah, the idea is to hold it off until SummerSlam. They're going to hold the match off. The idea is, You do the first match at SummerSlam, you do some sort of finish, and then you've got a renewal period, which is coming up in September. It's a WWE Network renewal period. And so I guess their idea is, well, we'll book some sort of big rematch stipulation in September, and I guess they figure the rematch is going to be a bigger deal than the blow-off match, which would be the third match, which presumably they will have in October. So that is kind of the idea behind it. I kind of figured going in when they beat up Dean Ambrose on the go-home show and with Seth Rollins doing that dive over the top and selling like he'd blown out his knee. I mean, my initial thought was, my God, they're not going to do this match. But they did do the match, but that's kind of, I don't know. They gave you something. They did a brawl, but an official match, they didn't give you. They gave you a little bit. They gave you a teaser. But to me, pay-per-view is not about teasers.
Well, here's what I want to ask you. Do you think they did this, or they were more inclined to do something like this because the vast majority of people watching are watching on the network as opposed to the pay-per-view, the few remaining pay-per-view customers in the U.S. and the pay-per-view customers outside of the U.S.?
So ask that one more time.
Do you think they were more inclined to do this because it is not a pay-per-view event for the vast majority of the audience anymore? That it's almost as if they did it on Raw.
I don't know. Nobody has told me, but just from kind of seeing how they've been booking of late and how often they've changed their mind, I mean, my thought is that that they booked the match and on Monday, maybe after the go-home show, somebody realized that, hold on a second, do we really want to give the first Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins match away for free on Battleground? I think it was kind of like a last-minute decision. They thought about it. They thought about the renewal period. And that's why I cannot imagine that they went into this planning to not deliver the match. I think when they first announced the match, they were planning to deliver, and then after they got thinking about it for a while, they decided that it would be better to hold off. That's my thought.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and here's why. It sure felt like they made the decision after they timed out the show, because everything else ran way too long.
That's true. That's true. There was a lot of stalling on the show. There was a lot of, I talked about this on a couple of the shows last week, but after the semi-main event, we all went and ate dinner. We got up, we went into the kitchen, we filled our plates, we sat down at the table, we ate an entire meal, and we came back before everybody was even in the ring for the main event. So, to me, poor time management is what that was right there.
Yeah, and just everything else. I mean, not just that match. Obviously, that match looked to be the best match on the show, and it was clearly the most anticipated. It's the hottest feud in the company right now. Just nothing other than the opener came close to delivering the way it seemed like it would on paper.
It's funny because the opener, the Usos match, I mean, the Usos and the Wyatts have been battling forever. And I was joking actually about the match, because like we've seen this match 1 million times, and apparently it's building to a show where we're going to see it three times on one show, which is actually what happened. But the first two falls were really nothing happening. It was like it was kind of like a normal match. The first fall was the heels getting the heat. The second fall was the beginning of the comeback, and then the third fall was like all near falls. And it was even better than I expected. It was a great, great match. And unfortunately, it was all downhill from there. If you listen to last week's Observer Live, I mean, when we were previewing the show, I was very bullish on the show. I knew it wasn't a big show in terms of, you know, they were leading towards this SummerSlam show. It was a buffer show or whatever you want to call it. It wasn't really an important show. But when I looked at the matches, Paige and AJ and the Usos match, Rusev, Swagger, Bray and Jericho, I just looked at all the matches on the show and I thought, in the ring, this is probably going to be a really great show. And then it wasn't. So I was disappointed.
Yeah, and then everything else, especially Jack Swagger versus Rusev, which, well, there are two reasons to be disappointed in that. The first was that the match did not nearly go as well as expected. I think it ran too long, again, probably thanks to Rollins versus Ambrose being taken off the card. And then as became fairly, I won't say big mainstream news, but it got a lot of mainstream coverage, was Lana's promo before the match, which can, I guess the kindest way to put it would be to describe it as ill-advised.
It was an ill-advised promo. I mean, did you believe for 1 second when the WWE did their apology the next day that that they were absolutely, I don't know if they were unaware, but they mentioned recent current events. And I thought for sure, I mean, I think everybody did. It was a reference to the plane going down over the Ukraine, and they claimed otherwise. I mean, I don't believe that for a second. I don't think anybody believes it for a second, unless you are the guy.
No.
You're not the guy.
No. I was kind of surprised they did it, though. It seems like they're sort of past doing that type of thing. I don't know if that was very wishful thinking on my part. But yeah, and then the thing that was really interesting about it during the show was that it just totally lost the crowd.
Yeah.
Who had been, and this was something that had gotten over so much higher than its actual, you know, level of push on the card. And then that just, it took until very late in the match to get the crowd back, because the crowd was like, they liked the goofy fun of it all. And then when they brought in the plane crash, or brought in what most people thought was the plane crash, it just didn't work.
Yeah. And I mean, besides that, just from talking to people there, you know, that and the Dean Ambrose Seth Rollins match being taken off, those things combined, the loss of the match, I think, was a bigger crowd killer than the promo. But I was pretty much told as soon as they announced that match was done, people just, that was it for them for the show. So we'll talk about more of this when we come back and take your phone calls. 855-478-4478. Back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of news to get into here today. Taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. If you'd like to give us a call, now's your chance. So give us a call, 855-478-4478. Anything on your mind in pro wrestling or mixed martial arts, if you forget the numbers, you can head up to WrestlingObserver.com, and they are all listed up there as well. And Bix, the Battleground pay-per-view is over. We are now heading towards the SummerSlam show, where, believe it or not, we are going to get that Dean Ambrose-Seth Rollins match, as well as Brock Lesnar against John Cena for the WWE title. And the question that I don't know the answer to, I don't know if anybody knows the answer to it right now, is how many days Brock Lesnar is willing to work over the next year. Is he going to get the title? Is he going to hold on to the title through WrestleMania? Are they going to have a champion who only works the occasional television show? What are they going to do? We're going to get into that in just a moment. But first off, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? You are on the air, going once.
Hello?
There you go. Turn your radio down. What's going on?
Hi, I have a question.
Okay.
Do you guys think that with their appearance on SmackDown that the Miz's parents will be around more?
It's possible. I think they're usually just there when they're in the area. I don't expect them to be regulars on. Do you like the Miz's father? Is that it?
He's very. I love them. I love the Miz's dad.
The Miz's dad is I think maybe more entertaining than the Miz.
Yeah, maybe. I agree.
So you would be happy seeing them around more often.
Yes.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think they're gonna be regulars on the program, but I do think you will see them here and there.
Fingers crossed.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. That one I was not expecting. Miz's father has got a fan who is such a fan that they had to call an international radio show to let the world know. That's a draw right there. All right, let's go back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Richard from Baltimore.
Richard, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just wanted to let you know I'm enjoying the G1 tournament in Japan. It's a big refreshing after watching the WWE pay-per-view last week. But I wanted to get your guys' opinion. I was always curious as to why would the IWGP heavyweight champion enter himself in the tournament? And if there was ever a possibility that if they should win, what happens, you know, in the main event? January.
Oh, what happens if the champion wins?
Right.
Well, I don't know. I presume that they would do just maybe the second place winner gets the shot, or maybe they would just do some sort of other tournament. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Right.
I think just the assumption is that is even if you look at this like it's real, the champion is great, but at the same time, there's a lot of other guys that are great, and inevitably, he's probably not going to win the whole thing. And if he does, exactly. It's just like a big thing to put him over as an even bigger star. They can find another way to crown a number one contender.
Yeah, and I have to even admit that just watching it so far, I mean, AJ Styles and the Naito Tsui.
That's right.
Match is excellent. I mean, it's getting better as each day goes along, you know.
Now, did you think that, I guess day one was awesome, day two was okay, day three was also pretty awesome. Which show did you think was better, day one or day three?
I actually think it's day four.
No, day four? That must have been the one
right
that Dave
now,
just...
Which just seems the best. I mean, Shibata and Tanahashi was excellent. Okada and Anderson was excellent. So I would say right now, I would say maybe day three, day four definitely though so far.
All right, I want to thank you very much for the call. If you want to watch everybody, 2:30 a.m. on Monday night, 5:30 a.m. Eastern, is the next show in Sendai. So if you want to watch some G1, that's your opportunity. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? You are on the air. You are not on the air. Bix, let's talk about Brock. What do you think they're going to do with Mr. Lesnar?
I keep going back and forth in my head about it. I think he's obviously winning the belt, but see, here's the thing. If you have him lose it pretty quickly, and, you know, if it's... Well, by the way, do you know if they're counting the Big Show match as a regular match on his contract, since it was so quick and he didn't really take any... I think he maybe took one bump in.
Well, I mean, he still was there, so yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, in the sense that you understand why I'm asking this. Because it's generally been three matches on the each year on his contract, right?
No, it's more like 24 dates. I don't think he's got a contract that separates out pay per view from television.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that I think it's 24 dates a year. I think he's got about probably 20 left.
So theoretically, they could have him on every pay per view through whenever. As long as they just used him on TV less in the build-up and just used Heyman.
Sure.
Okay. If that's the case, yeah, I think they do it. Because also, the great thing about having him end Undertaker's streak was that it completely erased those losses to Cena and Triple H.
Yes.
For Lesnar. I mean, it's like they never happened. If he just loses the belt at Night of Champions, what's the point of that? But I think no matter what, he's still beating Cena, so I think that is what they'll do.
I think it is. I think it is important that I don't know if they necessarily, combine the titles, but I think they've got to do something with the Intercontinental and the U.S. titles so that they can have a belt on the road, or at least a main guy on the road, because Brock is not going to be doing house shows, and if you handle that situation, I think that one thing that they've got going for them, which is actually a really cool deal, is that Brock, if he wins the title, will be a guy that you can only see if you buy the WWE network. You know what I mean? He's going to be the champion. You're not going to see him wrestling on television. It's going to be kind of an old school deal where if you want to see Brock, if you want to see Brock destroy somebody, if you want to see somebody go after Brock's title, then you've got to order the WWE network or buy on pay-per-view. Now, they've never done this before. at least any time in the modern era, because they always have to have two touring groups and two champions on the road.
Well, now, not long term. They did it with The Rock for a few months later.
Sure, yeah. But I mean, John Cena is a big enough star that he doesn't have to be the champion on the road. And the problem is their other big star is Daniel Bryan, and he's out of action probably until the Royal Rumble. So you are going to have an issue on the second tour. So that's why I think you've got to unify those Intercontinental and U.S. titles, put them on a guy who, I don't know who, maybe Roman Reigns, just to kind of give him a secondary title run, like, you know, the old Intercontinental Championship used to be. But I don't even know if he's ready to headline shows. I mean, it's a very interesting situation, but they've got to do something if they're going to put that title on Brock.
Well, who is headlining the other team right now?
That's a good question. Let me I'll check on that. Remember, everybody, 855-478-4478 if you want to give us a call, as I'm going through these house show results here. Let's see. On the road last week, who were the headliners? Let's scroll down here. The Wrestling Observer newsletter, which, of course, you can get as a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. WWE, this one was headlined by John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. So that was the headliner on that tour. And then on the other tour, it was headlined by Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose against Seth Rollins and Kane. So essentially, the former members of The Shield were headlining that show. This one here, Roman Reigns was headlining. He beat Kane in the main event. This one here. So it looks like Roman Reigns or the former Shield members are the B team right now underneath John Cena. So interesting. Hold on one sec. Let's take this call. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Dave from Wisconsin.
Dave, what's up?
Two things. Firstly, I think I called you back when the WWE Network launched, and I said that they were going to have the issues with sharing accounts and piracy, so I'll just call to say I told you so.
Well, you were right. Hey, listen, Dave, let me tell you something. You were right, but you were right because they were lax. There's no reason there should have been... There's no reason I should ever get an email from a guy that says, I am sharing my password with 10 other buddies.
Five people, yeah.
I mean, no, I got a guy that claimed 10. Jeez. I mean, come on. How is anybody supposed to predict this sort of incompetence?
Well, you know, you look at some of their booking decisions and you kind of assume.
Well, you may be right. But I'm upset about
this. Anyway, I was going to say, my second thing is, when is New Japan finally going to push Shibata? I mean, the guy is poised. He works his ass off. He's just insane. Puts on just great match after great match. And he's got, like, Antonio Inoki-level handsomeness. What is there not to push?
Antonio Inoki-level handsomeness. I would argue he's more handsome than Antonio Inoki. Dave, we got to head to a break.
At this rate, all right, well, take it on the break.
All right, we'll take it after the break. We'll talk about the handsome Shibata after the break. Hold on, everybody. Back in just a moment, talking handsome Japanese pro wrestlers. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. If you do not hear it on your radio in the car, for example, you can check us out on the Sirius Satellite Radio app, searching for Sirius Sports Zone. We're also available on the TuneIn Radio app, so make sure you head up there and check that out. And for more, if you don't get enough with your one show a week here on Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Byline USA, you can always check us out at WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily news updates. We have daily radio shows. I got another one coming up tonight, a brand new Brian Avini show. We're going to be talking Ring of Honor as well as SmackDown and NXT. All of those will be reviewed tonight on the program. We air every day, WrestlingObserver.com, only for subscribers. 10 to 12 brand new radio shows every single week. And as a subscriber, not only to get all of the new shows, but every single show that we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives for subscribers. We're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of radio shows are available to you right now for only $10.99 a month. So if you love it, head up there and check it out. You can podcast the shows, jump into the archives anytime you want. You've got interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling, including just this past week, we had Bret Hart on the show. We've had Bret Hart, Charmel, Booker T, all within the last week. So head up there, check those out. All of the other shows as well. A lot of good stuff. And Bix, handsome Japanese pro wrestlers. Dave in Wisconsin wanted to know about Shibata. And I was looking through Block A and Block B of the G1 this year. And when I look at all of these names, obviously in terms of top stars, they've got Okada, who is most likely going to be number one for a while, as Tanahashi is, I believe, 35 years old. He's not going to be around forever. He's hurting bad. A lot of these other names here, Kojima is in his 40s. I guess Nakamura, AJ Styles is not going to be around forever as a regular, I would guess. The current IWGP champion. I love Minoru Suzuki, but not a top guy. I mean, Shibata is the kind of guy that may be next in line for an elevation, him and Naito. So I don't think there's like, I don't think he's been, there's less slotting in New Japan unless you've reached like a certain age or you've got a certain sort of gimmick. Captain New Japan's never going to be like a main event or anything like that. But I think that Shibata may be in line for an elevation. Mike Sempervivi will be back next week, and I'm sure he can talk more about this. But, hey, I have no problem with Shibata getting an elevation.
Yeah, and I'm looking now. One thing that came to mind when you said that, though, is he is about the same age as Tanahashi, though. I mean, he's 34.
That's true. And I don't know his, I don't know his injury status. I just know that, not just from what I know about Tanahashi, but, you know, I talked to guys that were in the Ring of Honor locker room when Tanahashi was there, and they said, you know, the guy, when he gets in the ring, he wrestles. I mean, he didn't have the match with Mike Bennett, so it wasn't like a really physical match, although he did do a lot of his spots. But they just said that, you know, he's one of those guys you see backstage, and he is just in pain. Just in pain. I don't know if it's that bad for Shibata, but I know that Tanahashi, I don't know how much time he's got left. His back and his knees, just in a lot of pain. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and I was at the New York show with the Bennett match, and he just looked like a guy who really has very little left. And it wasn't even just physically. I mean, the biggest surprise to me on that show was he just seemed very deflated. Like, he just didn't even come off like a star. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he has much time left, and I would hate to see him just keep taking that pounding for any longer than he needs to.
Well, the good news about the tournament is, as Dave has noted on the show, A, it's very good, and B, as he noted in the daily update today, these guys are getting some time off in between shows, and so they're getting a chance to heal up a little bit better than last year when it was a much harder day-to-day schedule last year. So the guys are more appreciative to get a little bit of time off this year. I'm sure some guys are still going to get hurt. Dudes may end up having to drop out, but it seems to be better this year than last year. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ivan from Scranton.
Ivan from Scranton. What's going on?
Yeah. Nothing. I just had a quick question for you guys. I've been watching pretty closely this whole situation with what they're doing with Sting.
Yes.
And I've been getting kind of frustrated about the whole thing because it seems like, I mean, a true WWE fan has wanted to see Sting in the WWE forever. And now it finally looks like we're getting it, but I'm just confused about what they're going to do with it because Sting's pretty old. And he's come out and said that he maybe only has one match left in his tank. And they said that, you know, he said that his dream match would be The Undertaker. Do you think that maybe that's what they're trying to do and see if The Undertaker's healthy? And if it's not, where else could you see them using Sting? Like, what else could you see him doing? Who else? Him fighting for his last match.
Well, number one, just so everybody is aware, despite everything that you may have seen on the internet and his appearance at the Mattel deal, Sting is not under contract with WWE right now. I do expect him to be under contract with WWE within the month, but as of this moment, he is not. I don't know what they're going to do with The Undertaker. I mean, clearly he wants that match. I don't know if Undertaker's going to come back. I don't know what his... I don't know how he's feeling. I presume they're going to wait a few months. It's usually around September that Undertaker decides if he's going to wrestle again. I mean, obviously, when they made the call that Brock was going to beat him, Vince McMahon, yeah, in his mind, you know, he figured that Undertaker was done. But at the end of the day, if Undertaker wants to do another match, Undertaker's going to do another match. So
what would you see Sting? Who would you see? Who else would you see Sting? Who else do you think they could pair Sting up with if he does sign the contract and wants to wrestle? Who else could you see his opponent being?
Well, the obvious name that I think will make a lot of people vomit is John Cena. You could always do that match as a WrestleMania main event or semi-main event. You could always do Randy Orton if you wanted a heel. He does the Legend Killer gimmick. I think Randy could probably have a decent match with Sting, although I think a lot of people would be sickened by that idea as well, since I don't know. There's something about Randy Orton that just people, sometimes they really don't want to see him in these big matches. But Bix, who do you think?
I think Cena makes the most sense. Two reasons. I mean, just as far as bigness, and also I think of the guys who would fit, he is the most likely to have the best match with Sting.
So there you go.
Thank you guys very much. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is Danny Hernandez from Dallas, Texas. How are you?
What's up, Danny?
Good. Well, just go on the theme of the show, talking about Japanese wrestlers. But I want to talk about Kenta. First of all, he's a great Twitter follow for sure.
Oh, really?
He has embraced Western culture, but like he has pictures with Funaki. But I want to talk about, if you've seen the video they posted online with him and Funaki and Renee Young.
Yes, an amazing video. Yes, he says, my style is kick, so I will kick your ass, which is a great catchphrase.
It's good, and see, that's the first prize, because a lot of people want to wear, if he had any English, you know, knowledge, but, you know, that could be, you know, him being a good, like, he may not be able to fluently speak the language of English, but if you say you give him a script, he can read it, he can mime it or read it without having any context, but hopefully, maybe give him like a year. I think he can get to his language, like speaking English as well, maybe like a Bartol del Rio when he came into the United States. And my question is, how long before you think you might see him? Because when NXT goes on the J Sports channel in Japan, you think he'll be prominent, or you still be out for, you know, first do his training a couple months, won't see him until maybe the end of the year.
Dude, listen, let me tell you something about NXT. I love this show. And as great as it would be to see Kenta in WWE and on Raw, I have no problem if Kenta ends up being a WWE NXT star for like a year or two, because they're not going to screw him up in NXT. They can always screw him up on Raw. They can always screw him up on SmackDown. They're not going to screw him up in NXT. He can go in there. He can have great matches. The only thing that kind of concerns me a little bit about Kenta is this. His style is kick, as he says. And especially in NXT of late, the guys have been given a decree that you need to lay it in. And they're told this. I can't remember exactly how it goes, but there's like the four commandments of NXT. And I think two of them are, you got to lay it in. And I'm not sure if the world of NXT is ready for Kenta to go in there and start laying in kicks. The injury rate, I can imagine skyrocketing. But when I think about Tyson Kidd, Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn, I mean, man, keep all these guys in NXT so I don't have to see them get screwed up, and I can just watch a great television show every week with them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hopefully we get to see him soon. But, hopefully he stays in NXT for a while. And like Sami Zayn, he's one of my favorites on NXT. And, you know, if he gets brought up anytime soon, you know they won't screw him up, because his character is too... It was too plain for like the main roster. He's just being the laid back dude. So yeah, a couple of gimmicks that work really well in NXT.
But you know who else is a laid back dude? Just Daniel Bryan. And he got over big on the main roster. So I think that Sami Zayn can do the same thing.
All right. Well, Daniel Bryan's a superhero, though, so he's different.
That's right. He is a superhero now that he's foiled that robbery. All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. Bix, any thoughts on any of that?
The one thing that I keep coming back to with Kenta is he's not the type of guy like a Tajiri or a Muda, or even among people who haven't wrestled regularly in the U.S., someone like Nakamura, who you immediately could see just translating perfectly to being a star in WWE. Like, he just doesn't quite have that same type of charisma. Not that he isn't charismatic.
Oh, I don't know. I'm looking at his Twitter right now, and this is amazing. He's got this one here. A lot of people said to me, "What a excellent shorts! You think so? I love it." And he's wearing a pair of flowery shorts where he's apparently sitting at the beach. He's got this one here. Tonight, hashtag NXT Daytona. I will go there! Which I can't wait to see him in NXT. This guy is overflowing with charisma. What are you talking about, Bix?
No, it's a different type of charisma.
But that is true. That is true. Here's him and Funaki watching Battleground together.
Yes. So have they hired Funaki like semi-permanently to be his translator slash buddy?
I hope so. I hope so. This is amazing. Hey, you know what? The guy is learning to speak English. So he's already worlds ahead of the former Sin Cara. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know. It's interesting they announced he was signed to NXT. They didn't announce signed to WWE, so I don't know if they just want him there as like a great worker that they can do, just, you know, have great matches, air on Japanese television. I don't know, but hopefully we see him on the main roster at some point. I'm a big, big fan of Kenta. So has he done an NXT taping yet? Are you aware?
Has he worked on TV?
I don't think he has yet.
No. I don't think he's worked a match on any shows yet.
Okay.
No.
Well, he's heading there, he says. So, all right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixen-Span, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And Bix, my man, the new issue of Figure Four Weekly is out, and as the main writer for Figure Four Weekly these days, what is in the newsletter this week?
This week, it's mostly about the feature story is about the what we talked about earlier with the sort of, I don't know, I keep saying sort of, but the false advertising of the Rollins-Ambrose match at Battleground. Also go into the release of the first patch update for EA Sports UFC, which came out this past week, because I had reviewed it when the game came out a month ago, and this week they did a big, big update to the game, so I wanted to make sure to cover that, especially since most of the video game sites won't, and all the latest updates in terms of WWE stuff, especially we try to catch whatever didn't end up in the Observer that week. And also all the latest Japanese news from Alan and all of the big, big Lucha update from Dr. Lucha, as always.
So you can check that out as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. That and all of the other radio shows. We got a lot of stuff coming up in hour two. We've got to talk about UFC on Fox. Obviously, we'll be taking your phone calls. Don't call right now. We'll take them after the top of the hour. But anything on your mind? What are your thoughts on Brock Lesnar and SummerSlam? If you have any thoughts on Battleground that we haven't gotten into yet. And maybe you saw Impact this week. What are your thoughts on Impact now that they moved to the... They've gotten to New York City. So the shows have been a little bit better. What are your thoughts on those? We'll talk about that in the second hour as well. So that's the plan. Take a break, everybody. Back in 7 minutes. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of news to get into here today. Not sure if you're aware, Daniel Bryan thwarted a robbery at his own house. This has actually made national headlines all over the country. What happened was Daniel Bryan was coming home with his wife, Brie Bella. She picked him up at the airport. Two dudes ran out of the carport. They had robbed the house. They had stolen an heirloom that his father, who passed away a couple of months ago, had left for him. It was a bracelet. And Daniel Bryan gave chase. One of the guys got really, really tired running the 200-yard dash. And Daniel Bryan tackled him. And he put him in a rear naked choke. And he held him there until the cops arrived. And I guess the other man is still on the loose. So they have not apprehended the second individual yet. But Bryan got the bracelet back. He got the guy. They're certainly looking for the other one. But this all with an injured neck, an injured elbow. This is probably going to keep Daniel Bryan out of action until January. And believe it or not, as we go into the break, I can tell you that I don't know if this was an official pitch or just something that people were joking about in WWE. But it has been suggested that they do an angle where it comes out that Triple H and Stephanie sent people to Daniel Bryan's house to rob him. Not even making that up. I don't think you're going to see it on television, but hey, you never know. So that is the Daniel Bryan story. If you go to WrestlingObserver.com or just Google Daniel Bryan robbery, you will see the report in a number of different newspapers around the country. So it's a pretty big story. We'll see how they address it tomorrow on the show. Back in just a moment, we'll take your calls, 855-478-4478. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of news today, as always, taking your phone calls as well, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. If you don't want to call, you are also welcome to contact me on Twitter. At Brian Alvarez is the Twitter handle. David is up at David Bix, if you'd like to follow him as well. And check us out on Twitter, everybody. We'll be looking at your tweets throughout the program as well. To the phones, a lot of people calling. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Nathaniel Lewis. I'm calling from Tulsa.
Nathaniel, what is happening?
Nothing much. Hey, I was at the house show on Friday, and you actually have my news report up on the website, which is actually really cool to check out.
That's right. How was it?
The show was a lot of fun. Ric Flair being out there was definitely a surprise, and the crowd definitely popped big for that.
Just being crazy Ric?
He was much more tamed Ric. He came out and announced he was going to be the guest referee for the main event, and the crowd loved him.
So how was since we were not lucky enough to see Rollins and Ambrose, how was the main event?
Well, Rollins and Ambrose opened the actual event and was clearly the best match on the show. They did the DQ finish, which was expected. The main event was, and I've seen some reports that coming out of our area that the match was not good. I just want to say the match was good. It's just not a main event pay-per-view level match.
So for those that weren't there, what was the main event?
The main event was it was Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns in a street fight.
Okay.
And it's probably the most, it was probably the safest street fight you will ever see.
It does not surprise me.
No, it was a couple of kendo stick spots, a spot with a table, and that's about it.
But, I mean, it's a house show match. I mean, I don't expect them to pull off all the shots, but if they went on pay-per-view and went a little more crazy, because obviously that's going to be the SummerSlam match, so you think it'll be all right?
I think it'll be fine. I think we've noticed in the last couple of big matches that Roman was in that, you know, he got winded and, you know, kind of blew up a couple of times. They paced this match very well. He looked strong throughout. And, you know, going into SummerSlam, I'm expecting it to be a good match.
Now, how was the Rollins Ambrose match in the sense that they are? It should be a blood feud. Did they do this just like a Ring of Honor style match, or did they have a fight, or what happened?
This was a fight. Ambrose was, he's big with the crowd. He's crazy man Ambrose throughout. This, to start off hot like this, I'm very excited for this program. I think the fans, in the upcoming months that they do this feud are going to be very happy with these two.
All right, I want to thank you very much for the call and the report. I presume that SummerSlam will probably end up being like a disqualification or a no contest to set up a street fight on the September pay-per-view. I think that's the easiest way to do it. And then I think October is Hell in a Cell. So you could go normal match with a bad finish. Maybe not a bad finish, but just some sort of screw job finish, some sort of DQ or no contest or something like that. Do the street fight where they go everywhere in September, and then the October show, they get locked in a cell and have to finish it off there. Bix, your thoughts?
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you hang up on him somehow. Sorry. I'm getting feedback in my mic. Yeah, I mean, that sounds exactly like what they'll do.
All right.
I am really looking forward to it, because it feels like they haven't done any kind of really good, I don't even know if blood feud is the right term anymore because they don't use blood, but it feels like they haven't had a really good hot feud in a while.
Blood feud in the sense that they're brothers.
Yes, exactly.
Sure. All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Jim, what's happening?
Oh, man. I just had y'all have just skimmed over the main part of Raw.
What was the main part of Raw?
Paige turning heel.
You're right. I'd forgotten about that in the shuffle.
What did you think of him? Just all jokes aside, what did you think?
It's not a joke. This is serious business. This Paige turning on AJ deal. It was good.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. They'd been working on it for a long time. I certainly didn't think it was the most important thing on Raw. I think they did an all right job with it. What did you think, Jim? That's the most important question.
I thought it was going to happen on Battleground, but it was just one day later. I really enjoyed it. I'll tell you the one thing that I enjoyed about it. Paige, she took a lot of things from her mother's heel character, Saraya Knight.
Her mom is awesome and scary.
Yes, that's what I liked about it. That's what I thought. When she posted her into the ring post and the barricade and all that, that was very much like her mom.
Go ahead.
But the only thing that I didn't like, I understand the thing about kind of rubbing it in on AJ, the skipping deal.
You didn't like the skipping deal? That was the best part.
I don't know. I mean, is she going to do that every week? I mean,
I don't think so. I think that was just to rub it in.
I just didn't get that. I mean, did you get to see SmackDown this week?
I am going to watch SmackDown immediately after this program.
I won't tell you. They had some more stuff with that. But,
wait a second. You can't give me spoilers for a SmackDown that aired on Friday? Come on.
Paige, let's put it this way. Cameron has a big deal on there.
Oh, really? Tell me more. Give me a report here.
Okay, I'll just give you...
You're our women's wrestling reporter. I need all of the details.
All right. Paige has a match with Naomi.
Okay.
She comes out there, the skipping deal, and she says, oh, I just want everybody to know that me and AJ are still, what do you call it, frenemies or friends? What, however she pronounced it?
Frenemies.
And he looks over at, kind of giddy, and looks over at... Naomi says, I like you too.
Oh. Wow.
But then when she does that, you hear Cameron's music in the back. And you know how Naomi's going to do. She's going to watch her back. And about 2 seconds later, here comes Paige. She jumps her from behind, gives her, I guess what you call it, the cradle DDT thing.
Sure.
And then, her move, the PTO.
Yes.
And that's the end of that. But... And then she goes around, skipping. I guess I could get used to that. But the thing about it is, Cameron, she just goes off on her after that. She just beats on Naomi like a government mule.
Like a government mule. Now, so Paige is skipping. She's regularly stealing the gimmick now?
I think so, because that's what I've seen. You know, I mean, she all comes out there and says, well, I like you too, and we're, you know.
Now, what is Cameron's music? Can you hum a few bars for me?
I can't. That's a good one. I don't know. It's kind of psycho-ish. I don't know if that's even a word.
It's just the sound of a knife just stabbing into a shower. What?
Something like that. It's not, you know, but...
Do they do the mixed tag, or do they do the tag team match on SmackDown, or do we got to wait for that one?
I don't know. I haven't watched all of SmackDown yet.
All right.
I'm going to tell you one other thing. You're talking about NXT.
Okay.
What did you think of Charlotte and Summer Rae?
I haven't watched it yet. I got to watch NXT tonight, too.
Okay, well, watch it. In my opinion, it's good. So.
Was it good?
All right, you have a good weekend. Have a good week.
All right, thank you. That was the Jim and Virginia Women's Wrestling Report is a regular feature here on Wrestling Observer Live. Have you seen any of those matches there, Bix?
No, I have the same backlog as you.
Oh, man. Backlog of women's matches is trouble. So we'll review those later on tonight on the Brian and Vinny Show, everybody. I've got to watch SmackDown, NXT, and Ring of Honor. So I should have asked Jim if there was any good Ring of Honor women's action coming up. So, all right, the phone numbers, everybody, 855-478-4478. We're going to be heading to commercial here in just a moment. When we come back, we'll be taking your phone calls on any topic, as has been made clear earlier in this program. So give us a call, 855-478-4478. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, and taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. If you want to give us a call, now is your chance. Man, we've got some comments here on Twitter. Will says our top three regulars, Dave from Wisconsin for wrestler handsomeness, Jim from Virginia for lady wrestling, and Sammy from New Jersey for pro gambler. Sammy has, in fact, called while gambling in the past, which to me, I don't recommend. Eric here on Twitter says, lots of rumors about TNA. Not good, I might add. And after Dave's tease today in the Daily Update, what is your opinion? My opinion is that we should wait and see. But this may be a very, very newsworthy week, as Dave noted. But again, let's just wait and see. What's the word? Cryptic enough for everybody, Bix?
I think it's more than cryptic enough.
Yeah.
I think it's superbly cryptic.
There's a couple of months left before this TV deal has to be signed, and there is no announcement yet. I believe there is just over a month, actually. And one thing that everybody needs to consider is even if something bad did happen with TNA, there are other opportunities, perhaps. So let's stand by and see where this goes. I guess is the best way to term that. Bix, any thoughts on this Daniel Bryan deal we were talking about?
I'm glad that when he did the press conference that he admitted that it was a phenomenally dumb thing to do on his part to chase the robber.
It is a bad idea. It is a bad idea. I teach jiu-jitsu, and I had a lady that started. And she had taken one class, and we had practiced the rear naked choke, or as they call it in Brazil, the naked here choke. And she, the very next day, this is a true story. This is not the Gracie's telling the story. This is true. The very next day, she was at Safeway, and she was going to her car, and she saw this dude beaten on his wife or girlfriend right there in the parking lot. And nobody was doing anything. Everybody was just standing around. And she said she was just absolutely petrified, but she snuck up behind the guy and she put him in a rear naked choke. And unlike Daniel Bryan, she choked this dude out, completely unconscious. And the cops came and arrested the guy. She'd saved this lady that was being attacked in the parking lot. But the police made it very, very clear. You know, unofficially, congratulations, good work. But officially, do not ever do this again. Don't ever think about doing this. This is extraordinarily dangerous. You never know if the guy's got a knife. You never know if the guy's got a gun. Particularly when you, I mean, this is something that really hasn't been discussed. But all I know about the guy that Daniel Bryan apprehended was that he was out of shape. And that he had to run 400 yards or whatever, and he got tired 50 yards in. And Daniel Bryan pretty much flat out said, I took him down with ease, and I put him in this choke with ease, and I held him there with ease. Now, that's all well and good and everything like that, but to me, if you see a guy, and he's committing some sort of crime, and maybe he doesn't look like he's in very good shape, he doesn't look like he's much of an athlete, I mean, to me, that's the kind of guy that I would be concerned, this guy's probably got a weapon. This guy's probably got a knife. He's probably got a gun. I mean, he doesn't have any physical attributes, so he's probably carrying something. So don't ever do this, everybody. And again, you know, Daniel Bryan admitted this was the wrong thing to do, but he also acted in the moment. I'm sure he wasn't even thinking about it. These are the kind of things you think about later. So if this ever happens to you, just call the cops.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's worth pointing out that just because they weren't even thinking logically in the moment, I think Bree and Bryan both said that they were afraid that, because I think they were only seeing him from behind, they were afraid that the guys had taken the dog.
Do not chase after a burglar. Listen.
Yes, well, regardless.
I love my cats like children, but you cannot chase after a burglar because you think they've stolen your animal.
I agree with you. I'm just saying, I'm adding to what you said, that he was in the moment, but obviously it was not the right thing. And it's understandable why he was in the moment, but it was absolutely the wrong thing to do. And I'm glad that he made that clear because he's getting all this publicity and it's this whole... I think this is actually how he put it, that as much as it's this kind of cute, oh, the wrestler stops the robber story, he never should have done it.
You know, I love Daniel Bryan. I love my cats. I love Brie Bella. I'm sure they love their dog. But if I came home and I saw some dude running out of my house, I don't think my first thought would be, I'll bet he's got one of the cats.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that either. On the bright side, somehow the came out of this during the press conference, Dan O'Brien gave an injury update, and it looks like after all the bad news we've been hearing for weeks, may not be that bad a prognosis anymore in that he does not actually have additional neck problems, which was the fear because he had not gotten any strength back in his arm. In fact, it's a problem with the nerve, and I believe it's that it's the way it's trapped in his elbow, and they're going to have to, I think, decompress it or something there. But the point is, it looks like the neck problems were taken care of in the surgery he already got.
Well, that's good news because the concern was that it was his neck. So, you know, the unofficial timetable for his return is the Royal Rumble. And I know they've already got some plans for the Royal Rumble. Let's all pause for a second and let's just think about this scenario. So Roman Reigns is probably going to be the guy that wins the Royal Rumble. Because they want to do Roman Reigns in a championship match at WrestleMania. That is all well and good. But let's look at what happened at the Royal Rumble this past year when everybody was waiting for Daniel Bryan to come out and compete in the Royal Rumble, which, by the way, he was never advertised in, and he was working earlier in the show. I never even thought he was going to be in the Royal Rumble, but apparently I was in the minority. So everybody's out there and they're waiting for Daniel Bryan to come out and enter the Royal Rumble. And number 30 is Rey Mysterio. And Bix, what was the reaction when Rey Mysterio came out?
Boo.
That's right. They booed Rey Mysterio. They were mad at him solely because he was not Daniel Bryan. So imagine that Daniel Bryan is going to return at the Royal Rumble, and he's going to come back in his big triumphant return, and he's not going to win. Instead, you're going to put over Roman Reigns. What do you think the reaction is going to be when Daniel Bryan gets eliminated?
It's not going to be good.
I was hoping for just another boo.
The thing is, I'm curious if like, and especially Royal Rumble's a more hardcore crowd, how much do certain elements of the fan base turn against Roman Reigns as time goes on, especially if he doesn't necessarily improve that much? I think if they stick with him, I think, well, because remember, he was like the preferred alternative to Batista this year. So it might not be as bad as things went for Ray. It just depends, I think, on how everything progresses. But I don't think you can bring Brian back then. I think that's the worst case scenario for if you're putting Reigns.
All right. Well, I got another scenario then. How about this? So you don't put him in the Royal Rumble, but instead, let's say that Brock Lesnar is the champion. Daniel Bryan's return match is his shot at Brock Lesnar's title.
See, I think that works. I think that might actually be the best way to do it now that you say it.
But the problem is you've got to beat Daniel Bryan in his first match back.
Yeah, but you can do the way they always do it in Japan. Guy's coming back from a long injury, he's rusty, etc. Of course he's going to lose his first match back. Now, WWE doesn't usually do it that way, but it's not a bad way to do things at all. And you really could spin it in a way where I think that would work. If he ends up coming back around that time, and you can justify him coming back and getting the title match in his first match back because he never lost in the ring, I think that actually works. I think if he's coming back around the Royal Rumble, I think that might actually be the best way to do it.
All right. If you've got comments on this, 855-478-4478. Once again, 855-478-4478. Phone lines are open. Will here says, Brian in the Royal Rumble, what a majority of people wanted and hoped for. Ray coming out was anger at WWE, not Ray. I guess so, but like it still came off as poor Ray.
1 minute.
Well, also, fans kept booing him for several weeks. It's not like it ended at the Rumble.
I don't recall that, but you may be right.
I'm pretty sure they
did.
He was
gone pretty closely thereafter.
It was for however many more shows he did after that, I do remember it being booed.
I also don't remember who he was wrestling there. Maybe I can't recall, so I don't know if it was... why would you be mad at Rey Mysterio? Because he replaced a guy who wasn't even being replaced because he wasn't even in the deal. I don't even get it, but... Well, actually, we'll talk about this after the break. If you want to call in, 855-478-4478. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi. Actually, we're joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi is out on the East Coast enjoying pro wrestling right now, so we'll talk about that next week here on the program. But until then, we've got a lot of news to get into here today. Every Sunday afternoon, we air at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. So much stuff to get into here today. For more, you can always check out WrestlingObserver.com. We got daily news updates and audio shows. More audio shows than you'd even know what to do with. I got another one coming up tonight. Brian and Vinny Show, 90 minutes on all sorts of different topics. We'll talk SmackDown. We'll talk WWE NXT. We'll talk Ring of Honor and a number of other fun things as well. That's coming up tonight. As a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, you get shows every single day. And not only do you get the brand new shows, but every show we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives right now. Over 5,000 hours of audio in the archives, which is over double the number of hours of programming on the WWE Network. $10.99 a month. You get all the new stuff. You get all the old stuff. Check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. You can podcast the shows, listen to them wherever you want to go. Always something new for the commute. That's a big one for a lot of our subscribers. So check out WrestlingObserver.com. Again, if you want to call in today, we're taking phone calls for the rest of this segment, 855-478-4478. It is toll-free in the United States and Canada. Once again, that is 855-478-4478. So give us a call. And Bix, what did you think of UFC on Fox last night?
I thought it was a very good main card and a pretty good overall card. Main event, I think it didn't live up to the expectations. I'm not sure it could have. The first and last rounds were both tremendous. The rounds in between were fine. I thought it was interesting that there was really no, that the announcers just didn't notice at all the illegal kick at the end of the fight, where
Brown
kind of slipped, and then Lawler just straight up head kicked him, and Brown seemed to realize what happened because he seemed very angry, and they were fine when they seemed fine with each other when the fight ended. John McCarthy, who was refereeing, actually did comment on Twitter about the body kick earlier in the fight where he called time out because Brown thought it went low, and he said because it was a legally aimed kick that did hit the cup, so that's why he gave Brown time. And the closer people look at the footage, it does seem like that's what happened. It seems like that's kind of a gray area in the rules, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard in the moment to figure out what happened. Same with anything where I mean, I bring it up all the time when people start getting upset because they watch the instant replay and they saw this or they saw that, and it's kind of like, well, yeah, but you don't have that. You don't have that opportunity when you're in the moment as a referee. Being a referee is very, very difficult. And I don't know if maybe, you know, I mean, in Mexico, if you foul somebody and or if you fake a foul, and which is a low blow, if you fake a foul and you get caught, you're disqualified. You get disqualified for lying. I don't know if you should necessarily disqualify someone if they fake a low blow in mixed martial arts. But there should be something that happens in a situation.
Well, I
like
think
that
is a foul under the unified rules. I think either it's
to lie.
I think it's considered timidity if it's deliberately faked. But I mean, in this case, it was not really a fake foul. I think
Hold on a second. Timidity. The problem is when you fake a foul, you're not guaranteed that the referee is going to call it or give you any sort of break. You know what I mean? Like you hope so. But you don't know, so it's hard to accuse a guy of timidity because he faked a foul because, you know, maybe the referee just not buy it and just say keep fighting. So I don't know if it's more just like you'd be lying.
Right, but I mean, in this case, he wasn't lying because it did actually hit the cup. But what I was saying is with the grip, it's not really clear from the rules. If something hits the cup but it is not actually hitting the groin, is that an illegal strike?
Well, it depends. Here's the problem.
Especially depending on the cup.
Well, that is a problem. Depending on the cup, I mean, sometimes I don't know if this is true or not. I don't wear a cup. I've never had a problem. You could make a lot of jokes, I'm sure, but I've never worn a cup. But I know that there are certain cups that you can wear that when I was a kid, the way that they covered everything, so to speak, the idea was you don't want to wear a cup like that because if somebody kicks the cup can, you know, shoot up the body and rip everything off. That was what people said when I was like in high school. I was like, oh my God, this is like the most terrible thing in the world. I'm never wearing a cup now. And so I don't know. You know, I'm not saying that it's going to rip anything off. I'm just saying that I'm sure if you hit the cup the right way, even if you didn't actually get hit in that area, the cup can like move up and hit it. So it's sort of, I think if you actually hit the cup, that should count as a low blow, unless it's like a, you know, a cup the size of a car tire or something like that. I think that should count as a low blow, but it's difficult. It's just, stop kicking everybody in the groin, everybody. That's my recommendation.
I did pull up the Association of Boxing Commission's version of the unified rules. Timidity is defined as any fighter who purposely avoids contact with his opponent or runs away from the action of the fight. Timidity can also be called by the referee for any attempt by a fighter to receive time by falsely claiming a foul, injury, or purposely dropping or spitting out their mouthpiece or any other action designed to stall the fight.
Interesting.
So faking a foul is a foul.
How about that? Well, maybe that's a docked point. You know what a lot of, I don't know what this has to do really with mixed martial arts, but in a lot of jiu-jitsu competitions, you're not allowed to wear a cup. Because people will use the cup as an offensive weapon. They will like take your back and put the hooks in and drive the cup into the spine as like a move. And so that's not allowed anymore. So I don't know if there's going to be any changes. I mean, you got to protect yourself, I guess, in mixed martial arts. And I can't see them ever removing the cup. But guys can use the cup in a lot of different ways.
Also, the last time this happened when John McCarthy was refereeing, he actually called it the exact opposite way. It was that fight on, at Fight for the Troops between James Krause and Bobby Green, where Green kept just nailing Krause in the groin. He went down twice. He recognized his groin shots twice. And then on the third one, he called the fight, but as a TKO for Green, because he said it hit the belt line, even though it audibly hit the cup. And here, the same thing happened, and he called it the opposite way.
You know what? I got to say something about mixed martial arts and scoring and DQs like that and bad calls. I've been thinking about this lately. There are a lot of shows, and there are a lot of fights. And because of the sheer number of fights we're going to get on any given year, I mean, you're just going to have unfortunate things happen here and there in terms of decisions, in terms of referee calls. And, like, there was a time when we only had, like, 12 pay-per-views a year where if, you know, you could really start to get upset about things. Because there were a lot fewer shows, and these were like, okay, this referee screwed this up, this referee screwed that up, this referee screwed up something on three shows. But now that you've got, like, how many fights do we have in a show? Like, 12? 13?
Usually 11 or 12.
Okay, yeah. So 12 times 52 shows, that's a little excessive. But we're talking maybe around 600 fights a year. It's kind of like, we really can't get so mad about this stuff. Unless it's something that's happening on every single show. I mean, yeah, here and there, somebody's going to get kicked in the stomach and they're going to claim it's a groin shot and it's going to be all screwed up. It's one fight out of 600 in a year. I mean, if you start to get fixated on it, you're just going to be a very miserable fan.
Well, also, I think it got a lot of attention because it came 10 days after the Miller-Cerrone fight where Dan Mirgliotta thought a body kick was a low blow.
Yes, so... this person here says the cup rumor is complete BS. The cup is meant to prevent full damage to the groin. It's meant to be a dome around the groin. Why are we talking about groin so much on this show? Especially of late, Bret Hart's talking about his groin on Thursday's show. I guess it's very important, really, when you think about it. Yeah. Phone number 855-478-4478. If you want to give us a phone call, 855-478-4478. The phone lines are open. And Bix, what are the possibilities, in your opinion, of seeing a Gina Carano fight within the next 1 year?
I think it's pretty good. I'm curious what Dana White meant by saying that that the negotiations right now are complicated.
Well, he was just talking about trying to get it done with the filming schedule that she's got.
Oh, okay.
It does make it complicated.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I think as long as they can get around whatever is scheduled, I think she'll fight.
Is it a good idea for her to fight as an action movie star?
I mean, we hear this, and it seems like it's a motivation behind it. But this came off of her. Here's the thing. What led to her getting the movie career was a fight that she lost. And a fight that she lost to someone who at the time was perceived to be on steroids and eventually failed a drug test for steroids in Cyborg. Do you think that people didn't consider it a legitimate loss? Or do you think people are just being hypocritical about it?
Well, she'd also won a lot of fights. You know what I mean? Like the last one was a big time loss, but she'd won a lot.
Right, but it's 5 years later. Does it really change things that much if she loses after that big layoff? Or is it more now after Rousey's performance against Alexis Davis that it's less, oh, she'll lose, and oh my God, she'll be destroyed?
I don't know. It's going to be, I mean, the fact that they're in serious talks means the movie people are apparently not concerned about it hurting her marketability. So I guess I will, I'll trust them. How about that? Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi. Adam Florian calling from Prince Edward Island, Canada.
Canada. How about that? What's up?
I just had some thoughts on the and something kind of puzzling about the main event last night between Matt Brown and Robbie Lawler. When they were showing the moves of the fight, they solely showed Robbie Lawler highlights before the before the decision was announced. And I find that kind of puzzling because the first round, the significant strikes were dead even, and I thought Brown actually won it. With the second round, I thought Matt Brown won that as well. And then the fifth, the significant strikes were in Matt Brown's favor. And so I could debate that I thought he won.
Well, I know there were people that thought that, well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I was actually thinking about the Josh Thompson fight because that was a lot closer. The thing with significant strikes is I believe what they consider a significant strike isn't necessarily the harder strike. It's just a strike that actually landed as opposed to a glancing sort of shot. So to me, just because you landed more shots doesn't mean that you necessarily landed the harder shots and that you did more damage. So, for example, I mean, you could lightly punch me 10 times, and that's considered like a significant strike because you made contact. But I could hit you really hard 5 times, and while you had more significant strikes in number, I did more damage. So I think that's, and I want to thank you very much for the call. We got to go to break. But I think that's what may confuse people about the term significant strikes. We got to head to a break. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, at David Bix on Twitter, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. What a week. As noted in a prior segment, there are a lot of rumors about TNA going around. I'm sure you'll be hearing about that over the course of the next week. We will be talking about it on the program. So make sure you tune in at WrestlingObserver.com for that. Tomorrow is Raw. I actually don't have any sort of announcements about Raw. I don't know what they're going to be doing on the show. I do know that there is expected to be a big UFC fight announcement tomorrow. I don't know exactly what the fight is going to be, but I've been told if you're a UFC fan, they've got a big announcement tomorrow. And one last thing, Bix, 30 seconds. Are you more excited for the Jon Jones fight with Daniel Cormier than the proposed Gustafson fight?
No, because I think with the knee injury, I think Cormier doesn't stand nearly as much of a chance as he would healthy and as much as Gustafson would have. I think the timing is really, really bad for him. I think there's a chance it does better on pay-per-view because of the personal issue, which I think they'll do a really good job hyping. But I don't think this works out nearly as well for Cormier as he'd like. I don't think it'll answer the question of whether or not he'll be able of whether or not he was the guy, just because people thought he was the one guy who could do it without the reach, but I don't think this will answer that, especially because of Jones and those kicks that he'll just destroy Cormier's knees.
All right, we got to wrap it up, everybody, but thanks, David. Thanks, everybody at Sports Byline USA. Of course, all of the listeners as well, those of you at Sirius Satellite Radio. We'll be back next week with a brand new show, and we'll be back tonight only at WrestlingObserver.com. Brand new Brian and Vinny show, all of the news. So check it out, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.